Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right, well, hey, good morning and welcome to Life Change Church. We are in the middle of a series entitled Conflict. It's actually just a two-week series, so we're actually going to sum it up today and finalize it today, but we're really digging in and talking about how we all experience conflict, right? We experience internal conflict, which we talked a little bit about last week, and we experience external conflict, which we're going to dig in a little bit later today. But if you think about this week, man, if you breathe a breath, chances are you experience some conflict, right? So for some of you guys, you probably realize, oh man, this is internal conflict. If you were here last week, you're like, oh man, how do I deal with this? How do I lean into this, right? So this week you probably had some internal conflict. I'm just guessing that you may have made some bad decisions or made a mistake this week, and then you could have let it kind of eat up at yourself, or you could have responded and leaned into it. So you probably had some internal conflict. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that. And then I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you probably had some external conflict as well, right? I mean, if you are in relationship with anybody, meaning if you have a friend, meaning if you have a spouse, meaning if you have a child, meaning if you have a parent, meaning if you actually just like talk to somebody outside that's a church, you probably got into some external conflict this week. In fact, if you drove your car this week, you probably got into some external conflict. I don't really understand, but I think the population of Newark increased by like 20 to 30,000 from Wednesday to Friday this week. I don't know if any of you guys were on the roads, and if you noticed this, or if it was just me, a lot of times what I preach about is often what I get attacked on throughout the week. So for some reason, from like Wednesday to Friday, I think there was more cars on the road than I'd ever seen before in Newark. And then not only that, I think they all kind of decided, instead of the speed limit on 21st Street being 35, I think they all decided, hey, let's just drive 20. Like, that'll tick Corbin off for sure. So if I honked at you, if I yelled at you, if I gave you the fish, or if I gave you the feather, if I did any of these things, I apologize right now, okay? Like, I mean, there's this external conflict, and we're just like, for me, I mean, sometimes I get a little angry on the road. Like, you get that little bit of that road rage. Maybe you're there with me. Maybe you yelled at somebody this week. Maybe somebody pulled in your parking spot this week. Like, how dare they? Maybe they did just drive the 20 miles per hour, and you're thinking, like, some people's kids, like, can't they just learn, right? Can't they just understand this? But the truth is, we all experience conflict. And again, if you remember from last week, I talked about how if you're in church, you probably expect me to say, you know, conflict's a bad thing. But the truth is, conflict isn't a bad thing. The truth is, conflict's one of those things that can really help us grow. It's a part of life. Now, again, we shouldn't go looking for conflict. We shouldn't go making conflict. I'll just tell you that. But when we deal with it, when we're confronted with it, when it comes up in our lives, what we have to do is we have to lean into it. We have to learn from it. We have to accept it, and we have to deal with it, and we have to deal with it correctly. Because, again, conflict can be a good thing. A lot of times, conflict is actually what drives us. Conflict is what drives us to the change that we may need in life. Conflict is one of the things that can maybe even change the direction to gear us towards God if we react the right way. Right? Conflict can really determine who we're becoming. It depends on how we respond from it. And again, conflict always presents us the opportunity to grow. In fact, that's the big idea for these 2 weeks that we're going into it. And this is what I want you to understand. I want you to understand that conflict always presents us with the opportunity to grow. So when we're confronted with it, don't run away from it, but lean into it. Look at it as the opportunity that we've been waiting for. Look at it as the opportunity that we've been waiting for to really even learn from and propel us to the next level. Conflict, it gives us that opportunity and it always presents the opportunity for us to grow. I mean, even if you think of like your physical bodies, right? We want to grow physically sometimes, right? But we want to grow like with muscle, like actually ab muscles instead of like belly fat. It's easy to grow belly fat. Let me just tell you, I got a good plan for any of you guys if you want to do that. But it's a little harder to grow like ab muscles, right? It's a little harder to grow like actual real muscles because it involves some conflict. It involves some tension. If you think about it, to grow muscle, what we have to do in order for muscles to grow, it actually has to be torn. And then once it's torn, those muscle fibers will repair themselves and they'll build up and they'll fill in that tear and continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger as we do that. And it all happens, though, with the proper amount of conflict. And it happens really with the proper amount of tension and how we respond to that. How we respond to that makes all the difference. right? If we respond too harsh, meaning we just go out there and we do too much too soon. You've all seen this. Probably some of you guys even did this at the beginning of the year. It's like January 1st. I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to spend 2 hours in the gym. I'm just going to go at it. And the next day you're like, oh, I can't walk. Your arms are jello. You're like, hey, good to meet you. Right? Like you just couldn't. Like, we experienced that because why? We went too hard, right? We responded too harshly and it caused some damage. And then the other, maybe you guys were like pretty gung-ho, and then January 1st, like, dude, I'm going at this. And you did it, right? Maybe you just like spent 30 to 40 minutes in the gym, you felt good, and you're like, all right, I got my one workout this year. And then you didn't go back to it, right? Because it was too little, too late, and then the results are there's no growth in that as well. The same is true for even like all areas of our life, whether it's our emotional lives, whether it's our spiritual lives. We have to go through some tension. We have to go through some conflict in order to grow. I mean, if you think about it, if you want to, some patience in your life, listen, if you want some patience, this is just a warning for you guys. If you're going to pray for it, you're going to get the opportunity to experience it. So if you're one of those crazy persons that, like, says, I want to pray for patience, listen, I'm going to pray for you. But what happens is that you get the opportunity for it. So you get the opportunity for it with a family member, a friend. They're going to come up, and they're going to test your patience to the very, very limit. Like, it's a guarantee. Because that tension, that conflict is what allows us to grow. Now, again, some of us, maybe we're super spiritual. We're like, you know what? I want to experience God's grace, right? Like, yes, God, I want to experience your grace. Let me just tell you this. If you want to experience God's grace, guess what? He's going to give you the opportunity to give some grace in life. And sometimes that can be tricky. Sometimes that can be hard. Sometimes that can be, there's some tension with that. But when we're going to experience these things, he's going to give us those opportunities. Even if we want to experience some endurance, guess what? God's going to give us those opportunities where we have to press on, where we can't quit. Because that conflict really, it pushes us to that next level. That conflict is the opportunity to grow. It's the opportunity to grow with Christ, and it's the opportunity to grow spiritual, right? And it's the opportunity really to grow in maturity. But how we respond determines who we become. And if you remember from last week, we looked at the scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, that shows us how to respond. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to Philippians chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, we always challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app, just an incredible resource that you can take with you wherever you go. And if you're wondering, like, man, where do I start with the Bible? Listen, follow us on social media. We put reading plans out there to give you a place to start so that you can be reading your Bibles every single day. And again, this is our main verse. We're going to go over this these 2 weeks, and it teaches us how to deal with conflict correctly. And it really teaches us how to seize the opportunity for growth and conflict. In fact, this is the whole reason this passage of scripture was written. It was written to the Philippians, and at this time they were dealing with some conflict. There was a lot of people that were opposing them as a group, so they were facing conflict every single day. So Paul's writing to them, and he's telling them how to deal with this. And meanwhile, like Paul's writing to them, he's like having his own internal conflict by himself because he's actually locked up in prison. So he's talking from experience, and he tells us to lean into this. He's saying, respond to this hardship, respond to these struggles, respond to this tension, respond to this conflict, respond to with joy, respond with just joy and strength instead of depression and retreat. And when we do this, we're representing what Christ actually did for all of us. He says it this way in Philippians 2, 14 through 16. He says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. So again, right off the bat, this starts off when we talked about this. It says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. And we talked about how, you know what, it's actually easy for us to grumble or argue, right? When, again, in internal conflict, when we're going through something, we want to grumble just enough so that people know that we're going through something, right? Like, we just want to be like, oh, man, can you believe this? I can't believe it. Like, you just grumble, and then it's like, somebody's like, what's wrong? And then you just go off on them and let them know what you're going through, right? That's the grumbling. And then the arguing is more the external conflict where you're ready to fight at, like, a moment. You're like, all right, here we go. It's ready to go. Let's go and chase after this. I'm going to win this argument, and I'm going to tell you why, right? Because you did something wrong to me, and I'm going to show you how wrong you are. I'm going to show you how right I am. Like, that's how we respond to arguments for the most part, right? Again, the grumbling is the internal, and then the arguing is the external. So let me just go this. I'm going to kind of call some people out. So this is the external one. We're going to talk about this. But let me just ask you, how many of you got into an argument this week? Anybody get in an argument? So we'll start off. So most people got in an argument this week. We'll start off. Well, how about this weekend? Raise your hand. We're going to do this like we did last week, but I do have I actually have some rewards this time. So if you got an argument this weekend, keep your hands up. All right, if you got an argument this morning, keep your hands up. All right, we're going to get down to two. If you got an argument since you've been at church, keep your hand up. Since church, all right. All right, Christian, you're going to get a Snickers, and we're going to talk this off to the fact that you might have been hungry, and you're probably not yourself when you're hungry. So there you go. The truth is we all argue, though, right? We all really respond to external conflict a certain way. For some of us, and really it's a form of arguing in a way. Right? For some of us, we just want to argue right away. Like, and I'm willing to bet that I'm not going to go into it, but I'm willing to bet that Christian may have gotten an argument with her child, right? We'll just say that, and I think I might be right, and I called my wife out in the first service. She's not in here, but I did get permission for this. She is an arguer. I got permission because I didn't want to have an argument later, so I got permission, just saying. But she is an arguer. And what's funny is my daughter is basically my wife. They're like one and the same people. So she's an arguer as well. And what happens when you have two arguers in the house is sometimes you have mornings that are a little bit intense. Like, I mean, they will fight through tears, right? They'll go all the way and they'll go at it. And there's some mornings you wake up and they're just yelling at each other. And they're like, what in the world is wrong with you guys? Like, come on. And they'll go through it. And then obviously then they have to apologize later and they're all good to go, right? And I mean, let's just be honest, my house is probably very similar to your house sometimes, especially when it's like we're getting ready for school or for church. It gets a little bit chaotic. That's just what it is. And then sometimes we have that external conflict where it comes out. And then there's also another way of how we respond. We can argue, but we can argue silently. Now, my son Griffin has nailed this. Like, he's got this down to a T. And to tell you the truth, this is kind of sometimes how I respond as well. So, like, if we're in an argument or he did something wrong and we have to confront it, right? There's this issue and we confront it. Griffin's first thing is that he's going to be like, Dad, but no, don't worry about that. Check out my car. Want to play cars with me? Right? He changes the subject completely. You're like, that's brilliant. Like, how? That's a really good move. I was talking to my mom, and I guess I actually did that as well. So, like, it kind of comes natural for us to respond that way. He gets it pretty honestly. But a lot of times, I think we either argue or we avoid. So, I mean, think about it right now. You're probably, like, categorizing yourself like, dude, I'm an arguer. If you raised your hand just a moment ago, you're like, I'm definitely an arguer. If you didn't raise your hand, you're probably thinking, okay, I probably just avoided it. I silent argued them. I silent argued, and I won, right? Because it's hard to fight back with a silent argument. I'll just be honest. But truth is, avoidance is still a form of arguing. Avoidance is still a form of not dealing with conflict correctly, right? It's dealing with it incorrectly. And this is why relationships are actually super tough. This is why relationships can be super hard, because each and every relationship we have is going to involve some type of conflict. And the truth is, it's natural for us to respond through either arguing or avoiding, right? That's our natural response for each and every one of us. But Paul tells us to do everything without arguing. In fact, he even reiterates this in 2 Timothy 2:23 through 26, which states this. It says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach and not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. So here's Paul, and again, he's talking about arguing. Now, just so we know kind of where we're talking about here, he's talking to Timothy, who's actually sharing the gospel. So here's Timothy, and he has these people who are arguing against him, sharing the gospel. So really, Timothy is talking some ginormous picture stuff, like big picture stuff. Timothy is dealing with arguments that really revolve around like eternal life or eternal death. So this is some big stuff. So Paul is addressing Timothy. And I don't think for many of us, our arguments and our conflicts, if we're honest with ourselves, they're not that big. They're not that big of issues. Yeah, we make them a big issue, but the truth is they're not nearly as big of an issue as what Timothy's dealing with, as what Paul's addressing. But the principles from what Paul is stating can still apply even to our small issues. And here's what I think we can take away from the scripture. I think we can take away the fact that the goal of conflict is not victory, but it's truth. The goal of conflict is not victory, but it's truth. If you really break it down, foolish and stupid arguments, they're revolved just around winning, right? Foolish and stupid arguments are revolved just around winning. And there's times where we go into an argument, there's times where we go into a conflict when our whole entire goal is just to win. But what happens is, yeah, we may win the argument. Yeah, we may win that little piece of conflict right there. But what happens is we can lose the relationship. We can lose in the big picture. What happens is when we just go in and try to get victory, when we just go into a conflict just to win, the result is division. It's never change. It's never unity, which is what God wants. When we respond to conflict the right way, when we respond with our arguing, what happens is the result is peace. The result's love, right? The result is truth. And more importantly, it's God's truth. Listen, the conflicts, we're going to face them every day. It's a part of life. But if we lean into them, if we respond the right way, we can find God's truth in it. We can find God's truth in every one of those things. And the result is unity. The result can be growing together. But we have to understand the goal of conflict is not victory, it's truth. And when we live this out, we escape the trap of the devil. We escape what Satan's trying to do us. And what happens too is we can even lead others to escaping that trap as well. But I think far too often we fall right into that trap. If we're honest with ourselves, far too often we fall right into that trap because the truth is it's natural for us to handle conflict incorrectly, right? Dealing with conflict the correct way is actually a learned behavior. Right? You actually have to take some time and to be intentional about it. You have to take some time and to learn some processes about it, right? Again, if you look at our kids, they come out and what's one of the first words they say? The first words is no, right? It's an argument of no, right? It's natural for them to respond this way. But it's a learned behavior to deal with conflict correctly. And because it's a learned behavior, too many times we don't do it. Too many times we fall into this category of the fighter. We fall into the category of the avoider because it's so natural and because it's so easy. It's so easy to fight. It's so easy to avoid these situations. It's so easy to avoid these conflicts. It's so easy to do this. It's so easy just to either even fight in these conflicts because really it's because of our selfishness. I mean, our selfishness stems this, right? We want to win. When we go into situations, we want to win. We're going to find out any way we do it because that's our natural instinct. I think too many times, really, when we find this conflict or when we get into this confrontation, instead of like going into listening to actually hear, we go in and we listen to how we can really respond, how we respond to win, right? Instead of going in to listen to hear, we go in listening so to find out how we can angle and how we can make ourselves right. And the result is hurt feelings. The result is damaged relationships. Too many times, instead of listening to hear, we just avoid, right? We ignore. We neglect. And again, what that does is that devalues the other person and it damages the relationship. See, Satan knows this. And what he's doing is he's trying to pin us against each other. He's trying to pin us against each other so that we eventually will just lose hope and give up. So that we never really actually find his truth. We never find out what God wants us to learn through each and every situation. Because the truth is, we go through certain things so that we can actually go, right? We go through things so that we can grow through them. But what are we doing? Many times we neglect that and we push it off because we're not willing to lean into it and deal with it the correct way. And Satan uses it to pin us against each other. He's good at forcing us to either treat the issue incorrectly or not even treat the issue altogether. He's good at allowing these things to really fester up in us, right? He's good at making us become angry, resentful, stubborn, unrepentant, and unteachable. Because that's his goal. His goal is to lead us away from truth. But the goal of conflict is not victory, but it's truth. And when we seek out truth, the result is kindness. When we seek out truth in each external conflict, the result is knowledge. The result is repentance. I mean, think about it. Instead of just winning a fight, imagine if you walked through this conflict, if you walked through this issue, and the result was peace. Right? Instead of just winning a fight, imagine if this conflict actually led to some repentance, actually led to a change in your life, but not only your life, the other party's life, right? That's what life change is, right? That's the growing relationship with Christ. And sometimes conflicts can pull this out of us, but we have to lean into it correctly, and we have to continue to look for truth each and every moment of that conflict instead of just trying to win. There's an opportunity for growth in each and every conflict, but we have to take advantage of it. We have to take advantage of it. And the result could be restored relationships. The result could be relationships that continue to thrive. The result isn't divisiveness, but it's unity. Like, think about that. Imagine if you leaned into some of the conflicts in your life right. Imagine the differences it would make in your relationships. Imagine the differences it would make in your family. Imagine the differences it would make with your spouse, with your coworkers, with your boss. Right? Imagine what the difference it would even make within the church. This is what Christ wants us to do. This is what Paul was talking about. He's saying lean into it and deal with the conflict correctly. And here's how we do that. Here's how we do lean into our external conflict correctly. We have to gently instruct with hope and love. Gently instruct with hope and love. In every conflict, instead of arguing, instead of trying to be right, instead of trying to puff your chest up, we have to go back to what Paul stated to Timothy and says, gently instruct. That means we have to do some things with some humility, right? And the truth is, that means we have to do some things with intentionality. To be full of hope and to be love, full of love, we have to do some things with intentionality, and we actually have to involve God into the scenario. We have to invite him into the conflict as well. We have to go beyond our flesh because it's natural for our flesh just to fight and just to try to win. But we have to bring God in. We have to invite him in to the situation. And really, I think there's a perfect illustration of this that many of you may have seen on Facebook, but it kind of talks about how you're going to invite God in to your situation, invite God in to your conflict. So check this out. I believe we have a slide here. So conflict usually starts with somebody offending us. Let's just be honest. I'm going to explain this a little bit. It's kind of small. We'll probably post it on Facebook again here so you guys can check that out. But conflict usually starts when somebody offends us, right? So what do? We have an option. When somebody offends us, when we get hurt, we can go about and we can try to get a setup so that we're going to win the argument, and then we can get everybody on our team. So what we do is we tell everybody about it, right? So that they hear just our side of the story. We feel validated by that. So we all of a sudden think, man, I got this. I feel validated by a number of people, so we feel good about it. So we can tell others. But what happens then is then they begin to tell others, and then all of a sudden the person, the offender, is all of a sudden looked down upon. So, man, we've already got them in the corner, right? We've got them backed in the corner. We're ready to win. Other people look down on them. I feel validated. I'm ready to go. But what we did is we actually caused others to sin because we actually caused others to gossip. So we're actually bringing people down in this whole situation. We succeeded to others to cause division in relationships. Yeah, we may have won the argument. We may have set ourselves up for the victory in the argument, but we set ourselves up for failure in the relationship. We set ourselves up for failure in our relationship with God even because we're not going and we're not bringing him in. So what happens, what we need to do is we actually need to change it up a little bit. Instead of telling people about it, instead of just trying to win the argument, what if we actually took some time and said, you know what, God, where's the truth in this? Let me seek you first. Let me seek what you have for me. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go directly to God in prayer. And what's crazy is this. When we go directly to God in prayer and our arguments and our conflicts, man, he changes our perspective a little bit, right? He gives us a little bit more insight of what's actually happening. He might even give us some empathy for the other party. Imagine that, man. They might have actually been going through something, right? They could have been going through a struggle. They may have reacted the wrong way, and they need to experience grace, the same grace that we've all experienced. It gives us a little bit of perspective. And then what happens is that we feel peace because of it. So that need to vent to others is all of a sudden gone. That need to just win is all of a sudden gone because we brought God into the equation. And instead of just trying to get victory, what happens is we get truth. And we feel value and we feel unity and we get this truth because we went to God in prayer. Imagine if we did that, right? That's crazy. And Jesus actually, it takes this process even a little bit further, and it gets pretty intense here in Matthew chapter 18, which I want to jump in as well. He explains how we can gently instruct through a process of how to deal with conflict correctly. In fact, Matthew chapter 18, 15 through 17 says it this way. Here's again, Jesus is talking. He says, if your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. All right, so this is pretty intense stuff. So it's taking that to a whole nother level. And this is Jesus talking, so we're going to break this down a little bit. So after we pray, after we bring God in the equation, after we actually have a perspective, what we need to do is we need to follow exactly what Jesus tells us to do. And he tells us this, we must address the conflict in person. We first address the conflict in person, which means this. It means do not talk about the issue with others. Right? Do not spread gossip about the issue or the party or anything along with it. Do not spread the gossip or anything else. Right? Because the truth is, when we're doing this, we're actually kind of revealing our own heart. We're revealing that we just want to go after victory. We're revealing that, man, we're just trying to bash somebody else. If we go and we just start spreading gossip, it's revealing who we are. In fact, Matthew 15, 18, Jesus is still talking. This is just a few chapters before. And he says this. He says, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. When we just try to bash somebody else, we end up really just bashing ourselves. So instead of bashing the person, go straight to them, right? Don't go to a trusted person. Don't go to a friend. Don't go to a family member. Don't go to the person who always is on your side and you know is going to take your back and say, oh, yeah, that, and they're going to feed fuel into the fire. Don't go to that person. Go directly to the person first. And it says this. It says, go to them and love. Again, if you go back to Matthew chapter 18, what he says, it says, if your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. But you're supposed to go and love, right? You're going between them. And listen, when you go and love, that means your heart has to be right first. So you're going in not just to pick a fight, but you're going in to actually have a conversation. I will say this just as a side note too. If you hear somebody that's telling you something, say, hey, I have this issue, and they just start spewing everything to you, stop it right there. Don't let them talk to you anymore. Stop it right there and say, hey, have you gone to them? And then if they say no, then say, hey, you need to go to them. And if you know their heart's right, you might want to encourage them to pray a little bit first too. Be like, listen, you might want to spend some time in prayer. You know, take 2 days, spend some time in prayer, let this cool off a little bit, and then go to them directly because you don't want to hear it. As the moment you start listening to them, when the moment you start listening to a problem that you can't fix, guess what? You are involved in gossip as well. So stop it. Stop it right there. And then push them to go to the other person. What happens is when they go one-on-one, it says if they listen to you, you have won them over. And a lot of times, and people just need to talk it out. And then listen, let me just say this. Don't text it out. Don't, like, Facebook message it out. Don't just, like, talk it out. Like, get face-to-face with somebody and talk it out so that you can see expressions, do that, right? Do it face-to-face. Like, don't Facebook your problems, but, like, face-to-face your problems, okay? I think that's the huge thing. So go face-to-face, one-on-one. And the chances are, it says you won them over. But listen to this. You won them over not to win the argument, but to win the relationship. To win the relationship. And a lot of times what conflict does, conflict strengthens our relationship. Listen, your marriage right now is strong because of some of the conflicts that you went through. Your relationship with your parents is strong because of some of the conflicts that you went through. Your relationship with your best friend is strong because of some of the conflicts that you went through, right? Those ones that don't have conflicts, those are just called acquaintances. But those relationships, those are the ones that you've dealt with stuff. Those are the ones that you've gone through things with, right? And they'll make you stronger if you deal with them correctly. So maybe this week, maybe you just need to confront someone face-to-face. Maybe you need to pray first, but then confront someone face-to-face. Instead of talking about the issues with others, instead of bringing others involved, instead of trying to win the argument, instead of trying to get everything lined up, maybe you just need to go face-to-face. And then it says, if that doesn't work, and again, if only that doesn't work. Like, this is actually a step-by-step process. This isn't like, okay, there's A, B, C. No, this is step one. And then if step one doesn't work, then you go to step two. You don't skip step one, because if you skip step one, then you messed up. So you need to go to step one. And then if you go to step two, is this, is with others. To gently instruct with love and hope is to take others along, right? This is if the one-on-one doesn't work. This is only if the one-on-one doesn't work. And you take others with you for one purpose. To hear the truth and to seek after the truth. This means that you're not taking people that you know are going to team up with you, so you're going against the conflict. This is like an unbiased person. This is somebody that really, again, shouldn't know the story whatsoever, because we're not sharing with the story with them beforehand. We're saying, hey, you know what? I have an issue. I addressed it one-to-one, and what I want to do is I want to get the truth. So I want you to hear both sides of the story, and I want you to come along, right? It's not, here's my side of the story. Let's go talk to them about it because you know I'm right and we're going to win this. No. It's the unbiased opinion, because there's power in numbers. Again, verse 16 says, but they will not listen. Take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. A cord of three cannot easily be broken. So this is the whole goal of this, is that we can come together in unity. Again, it's the truth instead of just victory. Again, it's restoration instead of brokenness. So this week I want to challenge you. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you've already addressed a one-on-one, but you know what? You need to bring somebody along. Not to team up, but to be an unbiased. Because you know what? You're thinking, man, maybe I could be wrong in this situation. It's a hard thing to think through. But there's sometimes where, man, we may have a conflict. We may have an argument. And we may just be wrong, right? It could partly be our fault. So we need to bring somebody along so that the truth is exposed. And then number three is before others. This is the final and last step. It says before the church, to tell to others. Again, this isn't to spread gossip. This isn't to hurt any of the parties involved. But it's just so that the story is known and that it can be moved past, so that we can move past it. The goal of this is to move on. Like, don't harbor it. Don't stay there. Don't dwell on it, but move on. And if you go to verse 17, it says, if they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Now, this can be pretty intense, right? You think about a pagan or a tax collector. Like, those are the kind of the lowlifes of that society. Well, let's remember who's talking here. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one who's speaking. He says, treat them like a pagan or tax collector. And Jesus, if you look at it, Jesus spent time and he showed so much love to the pagans or tax collectors. Right? What's amazing, though, is this, is that although Jesus loved them, he didn't allow them to influence his life. They weren't part of his inner circle that got to speak into him. They were on the outside. So what he was saying is, well, you know what? Treat them with love, but don't let them speak into your life. There's some people that we may have had a conflict with. There's some people that we may have an argument. There's some things that we may have some struggles and some issues with that we actually need to move on from and not allow them to speak into our lives anymore. Now, it doesn't mean that we need to bash them. It doesn't mean that we need to hate them. It doesn't mean that we need to tell all these certain bad things about them to anybody we come across. No, we still need to love them, but we need to move on. We can't let them have influence in our lives anymore, and we need to move on to that. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, this is the last step. He's saying, you know what? Let it be known and move on. Keep walking. Keep going on with your life. I think there's some of us here today that you just need to move on. Some of you maybe are holding on to a conflict and something that happened, and maybe you dealt with it completely correctly, but yet you're still dealing with these issues, feeling like, man, I can't move on. I'm struggling because of this. Listen, God is asking you to move on. Move on in truth. What are you asking, God? The goal of conflict is not victory, but it's truth. And if you look at it, Jesus showed us this. He gently instructed with love and hope. It's what he did for each and every one of us. Because the truth is, each and every one of us, we had a conflict between ourselves and God. We had a conflict that separated us from God. But Jesus came and lived a perfect life because he wanted us to have that connection with God. He lived a perfect life, died on a cross, and was risen again for us, all for the restoration of our relationship with God.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.